today on Annenberg Radio News.
We can't trust any conclusions after 100 days, but to me it looks like business as usual.
100 days into Obama's presidency, has a candidate of change delivered? Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, April 21st, 2009. I'm Brooke Sydney Gavins. Watering your lawn is about to get more difficult. Karen Marcus has the story.
The six-phase plan will require LA County residents to cut back on water use. Angelinas will only be able to water their lawns on Mondays and Thursdays, and still only between the hours of 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. The first phase raised water bills by 10% for users who failed to lower their water usage rate by 15%. The ordinance also limits car washing, filling swimming pools and spas, and lawn watering. But it's not just LA taps running dry. Today, the state announced a $4 million water conservation program, the Save Our Water campaign. Jennifer Persick is a spokesperson for the Save Our Water campaign.
So this effort is meant to educate them on why it's important to conserve water now and how to go about doing that.
In February, the governor declared a statewide water emergency and urged Californians to conserve. Local governments are taking action in light of the emergency to save water.
Well, local agencies in the LA area, both the City of Los Angeles, the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California, and all of their sub-agencies are very aggressively reaching out to their customers to call for conservation.
Persick has advice for consumers.
Well, I think the biggest thing is it's amazing what small actions consumers can take in terms of the difference that that can make, whether it's, you know, turning off the sink when you're brushing your teeth. It may not sound like much, but it saves, you know, a couple of gallons every two or so minutes. That can really add up when you lay that out over a population of 36 million people.
Last year, LA residents cut water use by 5%. But with the region's water supply expected to drop to 20%, conservation is needed. Karen Marcus, Annenberg Radio News.
The LA County Department of Children and Family Services will be under greater scrutiny. That's after county supervisors passed a motion today that will strengthen accountability measures. The motion comes after a Los Angeles Times story revealed that 14 children died of abuse and neglect in Los Angeles County last year, despite being under the watch of county child welfare officials. In a statement, Supervisor Mike Antonovich, who introduced the motion, said identifying those responsible and initiating disciplinary measures will prevent future deaths. Agency officials told the LA Times investigations into 10 of those cases will probably result in discipline against social workers. But USC social work professor Jacqueline McCroskey fears social workers will be demonized in the process.
The social workers who go out on calls that are alleging abuse and neglect are certainly our front line of response. But it's really a much bigger job helping and supporting these families.
McCroskey says the Department of Children and Family Services has been overwhelmed for years. She says it's working very hard to improve support for social workers, but county government is not supporting child services with the finances or the speed that's necessary. The woman accused of running down her ex-boyfriend's pregnant girlfriend with an SUV pleaded not guilty in a Compton courthouse today. Monica Mercado is charged with attempted murder, and the victim was 7 months pregnant. Her baby was delivered by cesarean section but died from head trauma. Mercado had argued with the victim earlier in the day and turned herself into the police after the car accident. Today we'll see the end of the heat wave that's been scorching the Southland since Saturday. Record-setting temperatures pushed past the triple digits in downtown yesterday, with near-record heat today. The heat wave coincided with a particularly violent day of crime. Is there a link between the extreme heat and extreme violence? Jessica Connor reports.
In the existential classic The Stranger by Albert Camus, a condemned man tells a jury he committed murder because the sun was beating down on him. The sun is not a likely motive for murder, but heat may be a factor in violent behavior. After sweltering, record-setting heat yesterday, a series of violent crimes occurred around the city. A 19-year-old woman was murdered in a Covina home while a gentle transient was gunned down in the alley. In Glendora, a 20-year-old was shot to death at his home while hosting a party. Obviously, these crimes all had unique circumstances, but could they be related to the heat?
When the temperature is high outside, people's threshold for reacting aggressively to provocation is much greater.
That is Ihor Boyanovsky. He is a criminologist and an expert on the effect of heat and the brain. He has studied the topic for over 30 years. According to Boyanovsky, the heat wave may have brought a crime wave to Los Angeles.
Is that people become more aggressive. That is, they intentionally become more harmful or engage in violent kinds of acts when they are under heat stress.
He found the majority of U.S. race riots in 1976 happened during days with scorching temperatures. But, he says, violent crimes cool down when the heat wave ends.
But that when it cools, the violent crime drops.
The heat wave may be a factor in the recent violent crime spree. But like in The Stranger, you cannot blame the sun. Jessica Connor, Annenberg Radio News.
San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom has officially announced he will run for governor of California. Newsom announced his plans through Facebook and Twitter. In a video on his website, Newsom portrays himself as a candidate of change, playing off the themes of Barack Obama's campaign.
The state of California is nearly bankrupt, and our state bond rating is now the worst in the nation. But in San Francisco, our bond rating just went up because of our rainy day reserve and our sound fiscal policies.
In the 2010 Democratic primary, Newsom will square off against Attorney General and former Governor Jerry Brown. Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa is also expected to run. LA County CEO William Fujioka presented the Board of Supervisors today with a proposed county budget for the upcoming fiscal year. The proposal contains several cuts to county services that could greatly impact residents who depend on public assistance. Timothy Beckworth reports.
The county's $23 billion budget proposal aims to bridge a $300 million gap by using federal stimulus money, tapping cash reserves, and eliminating more than 1,600 jobs, many of them already vacant. Proposed staffing cuts are especially deep in social, health, and child support services. The Los Angeles Times reported in February that 1 out of 5 county residents receive public assistance. That's expected to rise as statewide unemployment creeps past 11%.
Reliance on county services will increase, while there will be fewer dollars for those services.
Elizabeth Brennan is the spokesperson for Service Employees International Union Local 721, which represents about 55,000 county workers. She says the recession is already putting a strain on social workers.
The lines that they see at their buildings are long and snake outside even before the offices are open. And that's just started happening in the last few months.
The budget does not account for a $257 million health services shortfall. Interim Department of Health Services Dr. John Schnoff says this has him concerned.
So one way or another, through additional revenues or through cuts in costs or, as a last resort, cuts in services, we'll have to balance the budget.
Public hearings for the proposed budget begin May 13th. Timothy Beckworth, Annenberg Radio News.
First ladies from a dozen African nations are meeting today in Los Angeles. The women are exploring better ways to protect women and children from deadly diseases. The trip was organized by U.S. Doctors for Africa and African Synergy, a charitable group formed by the first ladies. Temperatures reached 95 today, but will fall below 60 tonight. That should put a stop to this heat wave. Wednesday will be partly cloudy with highs in the mid-70s and lows around the mid-50s. And on Thursday, it will be a partly cloudy with a high of 63. Later on Annenberg Radio News, South LA celebrates Earth Day. Some neighborhood activists want to use the opportunity to raise environmental awareness. Ever since FDR, a president's first 100 days in office are seen as his first test. Now that Obama has settled into office, how has he stood up to the challenge?
President Obama is approaching his 100th day in office, and the expectations have never been higher. President Obama is approaching his 100th day in office, and the expectations have never been higher. USC's law school held a panel discussion today about the president. Professors of law and economics tried to assess the president's performance so far. The common feeling among the panelists was that it is too early to start grading Obama. The troubled economy has dominated his early days in office. Associate Law Professor Kareem Creighton says many still support Obama's economic plan.
Most people see that the economy is not doing especially well, but they are optimistic about what this administration is likely to do.
Many Americans expected the president to immediately make more sweeping changes, but economics professor John Matsusaka said that they are being too impatient.
There's a whole bunch of actors here, and to think that the president can come in and all of a sudden make us rich or make us poor is not realistic.
Obama's administration has made economic recovery a top priority by implementing policies such as the stimulus plan, but Matsusaka questions whether the plan will work in the long run.
So we really don't understand what will solve this problem, or even if there is a solution that's within the power of the government.
The panel did say that Obama and his administration have been most effective in responding to what the voters want.
The other thing is that we are a democracy, and we're a highly efficient democracy, in my opinion, and the politicians are very skilled at paying attention to what the voters want. And they know that if they don't pay attention to what the voters want, they won't be in office for too long.
The panelists all agreed that listening and responding to what the voters want is most likely what is keeping Obama's approval rating at a high 59%. Most of his support still comes from Democrats, but Creighton says the Republicans are still split on their support for him. Since they are not as optimistic about the rest of Obama's term, they will apply as much scrutiny to his next 1,000 days in office as they have to his first 100. Janelle Burdett, Annenberg Radio News.
The governor stopped in the Southland today to support Proposition 1A, Marie Cunningham reports.
One hot-button issue on California's May special election ballot is Proposition 1A, a constitutional amendment that, if passed, will allow the governor to make mid-year cuts in state spending for some programs. Prop 1A also extends increases on sales, income, and vehicle taxes by up to 2 years. Governor Schwarzenegger sees the measure as a means to shore up the state's poor budget.
So we are absolutely confident that the people of California also will be behind it, and this will pass, and then we will move forward in a strong way and gain confidence again worldwide to invest in California.
The governor has support from the California Teachers Association. The state's budget cuts have cost K-12 schools and community colleges more than $9 billion. Under Prop 1A, that money would be repaid by funds accumulated from a rainy day reserve starting in 2011. If Prop 1A confuses you, you're not alone. Lillian Taze is a professor of history and president of the faculty union at Cal State LA.
There is no money in there for the next 2 years. The tax increases that we are experiencing now in sales taxes and income taxes and some other stuff, that's part of the budget. The taxes that are in Prop 1A do not kick in for two more years. So it is absolutely disingenuous on the part of the governor to suggest that we're going to fall off a cliff if 1A doesn't pass.
Check out the Secretary of State website if you want to learn more about Proposition 1A. California's special election takes place May 19th. Marie Cunningham, Annenberg Radio News.
Around the world tomorrow, people will show their appreciation for the environment. It's the 29th celebration of Earth Day. But some say it's not just about protecting beautiful mountains, oceans, and wetlands. Barbara Osborne is with Liberty Village Foundation, a group that advocates for social and environmental change. Osborne says Earth Day is also about remembering who bears the burden of pollution.
We have had a tendency historically to essentially dump toxics in poor communities of color.
Osborne says Liberty Village will be leading an Earth Day van tour of economically depressed South and East Los Angeles. She says they'll be showing investors green business opportunities. Osborne hopes the tour will have the dual effect of improving the environment and the local economy. Buying green, being green, buying hybrids, and recycling have received a lot of attention. However, organizations like Communities for a Better Environment are working to improve the environmental conditions of urban areas, which often lag behind upper-class neighborhoods in green fever. Earlier today, I spoke with Bill Gallegos, the executive director of Communities for a Better Environment. We talked about environmental conditions in Southeast Los Angeles communities.
The communities in in which we work are largely low-income communities, working-class communities, and heavily Latino communities. And they get the worst of it all. They're ringed by freeways, large travel thoroughfares, diesel traffic, the ports, the largest polluter in the region. They're impacted by all the cargo traffic through there, the rail traffic, the truck traffic. This part of the area, Southeast Los Angeles, is one of the largest refinery communities in the state, and most of those are located right in or near working-class communities of color. So that's kind of what the reality is that there's a huge disproportionate burden of pollution and toxicity that's borne by these communities. There's just a real disparity, and we call this disparity environmental racism because it has both a class and race dimension. But the research shows that race is the most significant factor in determining sources of pollution.
What role does the environment play in the health of its residents?
You have a number of things going on. You have a public health disaster because you have just horrible rates of childhood asthma and other kinds of health problems. You got the worst air quality in the region, and now we've got the problem of climate change, where these kinds of facilities produce, like this Vernon power plant, over its lifetime would have produced hundreds of millions of tons of greenhouse gases. So that's what I think these communities are faced with, and we try to make them aware that when they're fighting for the health of their children, they're also impacting the planet, because literally they have an impact on the emissions, preventing the emissions of hundreds of millions of tons of greenhouse gases.
Could you talk a little bit more about why are the environmental conditions so bad in communities of color or poor income neighborhoods?
Well, they have, because they don't have a lot of economic clout, they don't have a lot of political clout. They have high levels of poverty. Their median average family income is very low. They don't have a lot of political clout. Many of the members of the community are young, they're under 18, or they might be immigrants, so they can't vote. So they don't have the kinds of leverage that can impact regulatory decisions unless they're organized. If they're organized, it's a different factor, but if they're just trying to fight these things on their own, it becomes very, very difficult because they don't have that kind of power. And right now, I think the awareness about climate change and global warming and the economic crisis have provided our country with an opportunity to really, really look at transforming and ending this legacy of racism and inequality. We can use the rebuilding of our economy to really help these communities become green, sustainable, and equal.
That was Bill Gallegos, head of the Communities for a Better Environment, based in Huntington Park. The College Board urged Congress today to draft legislation that would help illegal immigrants attend college. The College Board is an organization that represents about 5,000 colleges and is responsible for the SAT testing. According to a report released today, the College Board wants immigrants to have access to in-state tuition, legal status, and financial aid. Now we check in with Katie Kim to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thanks, Brooke. Here are some of the stories that we're covering today. The man accused of targeting women on Craigslist is behind bars, but the case raises new concerns about safety on its website. We hear from students about what they do to stay safe online. Plus, the heat wave breaks new records throughout Southern California. Our weather anchor is at Santa Monica Beach with a live look at your weather forecast. All this and so much more on Annenberg TV News at 6.
Thanks, Katie. That wraps it up for today. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Brooke Sydney Gavins.
Thank you.